Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, your Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881.
That's 917-932-8881.
Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183.
That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. We have a treat for you tonight. We have an awesome author and poet coming in to grace us this evening with a very, very impressive bio, Mr. Justin Blackburn. We do have him on the air now, but let me officially read you his bio. And so you can become more acquainted with him as we bring him into the show. Justin Blackburn is from South Greenville, South Carolina. He began laughing at himself at the age of six and has not looked back. In collaboration with Kenny Northworthy, Blackburn created a controversial show to serve with the U.S. government with their powerful novel, Gifted Disabilities, that was published in 2005. This novel, he says, caused quite an uproar in the underground world, especially with lead singer of the acclaimed Fat Possum Records band, the company, Brian Hannon, who published a collection of Blackburn's and Norworthy's early poetry. It's hard to get there when you are already there. Wow, I like that title, which led to him actually getting voted Upstate Poet of the Year in the Beat magazine in 2007. Wow. In 2009, Justin had two chapbooks of poetry published in the hilariously wild Fighting Fire by Vigoray Press and the emotional cleansing female human whispers of strong masculine gentleness by Shadow Acre Archer's Press. And he became the highest seller for both publications. Wow, Blackburn has also had hundreds of poems published through the literary world in magazines, literary journals, zines, and anthologies, including Fisher Magazine, Symptomatics, Left Behind Literary Journal, Speed Poets, Open Minds Quarterly, You Can't Tell Angel Voices, and ANU's America AIDS Magazine. He has also been featured and performed in numerous venues, colleges, high schools across the country, including Brick City Poetry, Verse Work, Witsend, Tram Arts Festival, Converse College, Leaf Festival, Louder Arts, etc. In 2010, Blackburn also became a member of the New Danger Slam Team, as well as having his words featured throughout the music world due to the success of Comma Cinema, who took lines and bank songs for his poems. Also, he formerly had an initiative, Inner Healer, at Kaima Healing Arts Center in Greenville, South Carolina, now holding various workshops on learning to love yourself. Ooh, I like that. Understanding your intuition, flying through the astral plane, and stepping into your feminine and masculine power. Justin says, at the end of his bio, he just loves you. We'd like to take this time to formally thank you, Justin, for stopping by and welcome you to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. Are you there?
Yeah, hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I am so glad to have you here. It's just a wonderful, I feel very fortunate, actually, and I really, really want to take this time out to first let the audience know that how gracious you were when you were initially supposed to appear on the show, and you were very understanding when we were having technical difficulties, and we just really appreciate you for agreeing to come back and just allow us to, you know, learn who you are as an author, a poet, and just an individual. Thank you again for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
I'm going to chime in my co-host just one moment here.
Okay.
Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Steve?
Okay.
Hello, Justin. How are you?
Pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. Life is good.
That's awesome.
We're just so glad to. Let's get started, Justin. I'm just very excited to learn about you because reading that bio is just like, it takes me back, it throws me over, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is such an impressive guy.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Can you tell us a little bit about, I know you wanted to talk about your current book, and we will give you time to do that, but I am very interested about this little controversy with your first publication, The Gifted Disabilities. Can you briefly tell us a little bit about that and why it's so controversial?
Yeah, me and my friend Kenny, we wrote this book in 2004. And it was called Gifted Disabilities, and we passed it out all over the streets of Columbia and other places. We just stayed up all night printing them and giving out to people, and the Secret Service got a hold of it and came and thought we were like some sort of crazed people trying to like take over the world, and they like searched our apartment and like questioned us for like 6 hours, and it was huge ordeal, and I got put on like the terrorist most wanted list, but some sort of terror list, I guess.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was just them trying to scare us. But it scared me at the time, but it's all good. I'm a big fan of the Secret Service now. I've bought their last three novels, so.
There must have had some controversy in that book.
Yeah. There was some controversy in that book, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think it would be with the title, Gifted Disabilities, because that kind of, reading that title will kind of make you think in terms of something else, more on the positive side other than the controversial side.
I mean, it's positive in a sense of, like, it's about this guy who's, parents molest him, and he gets put in a mental institution, and he breaks out to kill him. And it's positive in the fact that it's like, you know, him facing himself and his abilities and everything like that. I guess the title is just kind of like a nice words together. Like, I thought it was a pretty title. I guess it makes sense in some sort of form, I guess.
Okay. What about the? It's hard to get there when you're there already. Was that was just the poem itself, or?
Yeah, that's just a book of poetry. Yeah. It came out in 2007. It's kind of mediocre.
Mediocre? How can you say that when you won Upstate Poet of the Year? That's impressive.
I don't know. I'm not really too big into titles and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's not really what I'm in it for, I guess. I mean, I'll definitely take all I can get, you know, if somebody was like your national poet of the year or poet laureate, I mean, I'd be cool with it, I think that a lot of times people get really like caught up in that stuff and it makes them vain or something. Makes them think, I'm the poet of the year. I'm a professor at a college. I've gotten published in so many things. I only kind of just say that. I mean, like, all of it's true, but I just kind of put it out there because, like, most people are that way where, like, you have to tell them, like, yeah, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. And then they're like, oh, you've done that? Okay, I can accept you into my world now. You know, that's why.
That makes you a very humble guy, and that's a very good quality to have as a person. You're very humble, and it is good for other people to praise you rather than
really
praise
humble.
That's the impression that I'm getting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm humble in a sense of like, I mean, I can be. I mean, I can also be very, what's the opposite of, I can also be, like, not humble, I guess. It depends, like, what mood I'm in. But I'm never, like, really in a mood of, like, thinking, you know, that, like, I mean, I definitely think that sometimes I think, man, I should get $100,000 for every poem I write. You know, I've thought that before, but I've never thought that, like, I don't really ever, like, try to make people feel bad because of, you know, what I've done or, like, tried to make myself.
Like, what you've accomplished.
I don't really determine who I am upon, like, what I've done. I mean, honestly, in my head, I've kind of not really accomplished anything that I've really set out to do, or not much of it. So, you know, I still have a long way to go in my own head, but, you know, we'll get there, and we're already there.
Yep. With that attitude, you will definitely get where you're definitely trying to get to, yeah, because that's not many people have that characteristic about them that it is. A lot of people out there is to say, like to tell people that I've done this and I've done this, and it takes them to a level of to a point where their head is about to explode, and there's no need for that. You know,
it sounds like what Justin is trying to say is he would be doing all these things anyway. He doesn't need the recognition for him to do them. He likes doing them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Justin, tell us how exactly what started you on this trail of writing poetry or any type of writing. What kind of got
just
you started?
Like expression, I guess, like having things inside and wanting them to come out.
Okay. Is there a typical writing style that you kind of stick with, or?
I write a lot of poetry. Like, right now, you know, I've got, like, right now I've just got, like, tons of, right now, actually, I'm writing, like, a lot of stuff. I have, like six or seven poetry books that are almost finished, and I have, like, that Enjoy the Irresistible Present book, which is, like, I guess, like, a self-help sort of everyone's beautiful, expressing how I feel about, like, life on some sort of level. And writing a play, and writing a screenplay, just like any sort of writing I like to do. Just trying to get really focused in on what I'm doing, and kind of accept who I am, and just do my best for myself.
Right. Do you feel like do you write sometimes to perhaps? Encourage other people who may want to travel the world that you're trying? Do you find that some of your writings may inspire other people to write or to, you know, enhance their writing if you want to?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I probably say it does. Most of my stuff is very inspirational. I kind of write everything from, like, a lot of my stuff is very, like, you can do anything, you're beautiful kind of shit. Like, you can cuss on this, right? Sorry.
I'm already finding the poems that you sent me before, so it's okay.
Yeah, a lot of it's like, and you know, it's just kind of like being as honest with myself as I can. Kind of work stuff. Writing's a good way to kind of, like, as I said earlier, express how you feel. And usually your feelings are more like, I mean, I used to get pissed off at, when in my younger and more vulnerable days, I would get upset at, poets that I felt that were, like, kind of full of shit, and they would go up there and say, like, I'm so this and that, and then I, like, see them in daily life, and they were kind of, like, not really that way. So that would kind of, but I realized I'm the same way, and, because, I mean, anything you usually criticize, is the reason why you're criticizing is because that's what you are, but, So, like, I write a lot of, like, everything's beautiful sort of poetry, and I definitely feel that way, but maybe I don't. It's like, you write from, sometimes you write from, like, a higher place, like a place that you would like to be. Or, you know, you get these feelings out, but, you know, that's pretty fun.
What are some of the, when you prepare to write a particular piece or putting together a manuscript, what are some of the things you do to kind of prepare for that? Like, do you have a set way that you put together your notes, or you do an outline? You know, particularly that question is for people who may, you know, come into the archives later and listen, or who's already listening, who wants to get into poetry, but they don't know how to find a place where they can just let their emotions flow through their writing. Can you give them any type of advice on how they can?
Yeah, definitely. I would just say just write, let it out. And then, you know, there's so many different ways you can do that. I mean, like, sometimes, you know, I like to have, like, an idea, and I write, like, a poem about the idea. Other times I, you know, just have, like, a bunch of different lines that I've come up with, and I, like, tie them all together somehow. Writing this book, I've done a lot of just, like, like, I'll have, like, what I want to, like, I'll write. I've got, like, 50, I'm on the last chapter, maybe, of this book called Enjoy the Irresistible Present, and I've kind of, like, I'll write a chapter, and then I'll, like, say what I want to happen in the next chapter, and then I write the next chapter from that, so... So, yeah, it's all up to you, you know, just don't be afraid. Like, I mean, I used to just, you know, you don't have to make sense. If you don't make sense yet, don't worry about it. Just kind of get it out there and, like, let it write itself, you know.
In other words, just do you.
Yeah, just do you. Just let yourself out, and don't really be so much of a judge on yourself, or try to say, I'm going to win an Oscar for this poem or something like that. Put it out there and see what happens, I guess.
Right, absolutely. Now, when you wrote your first novel, did it take you a certain time frame? That, like, did it take you 3 months, 6 months, a year to actually complete?
It took about 2 weeks.
Everything? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Wow, that is...
I had a friend writing it with me, and we were on a lot of drugs, and we were in some rooms. This current novel's taken me since the beginning of January, so, you know, it's got, like, I'd say it's, like, 250, or it's not a novel, it's a book, but it's taken me 9 months, and I'm almost done with it, and I still have to edit it. So the Gifts and Disabilities wasn't really edited. It was kind of like stream of consciousness, sort of chaos. There's a lot of chaos in that book. And this book's a lot more like, it's kind of chaotic, but it's a lot more of like, I guess you can come back to some central theme, I guess.
Oh, okay. Now, do you feel like you are an author that, a lot of authors, they have to get their work edited, and there's those who feel like they write well enough not to, you know, pay for editing services. Are you that type of author?
I don't really focus on grammar too much. Like, grammar has never been like, which is, I guess, kind of like hindered me in the intellectual writing world of, you know, shoots and ladders or whatever. That's kind of hindered me, but yeah, I don't really care. Editing, like, I do my own editing, I guess. I don't really have to get things like perfect or whatever, but you know,
if
you want to do that, that's cool, that's your thing.
As long as you understand the meaning and your readers understand the meaning, your punctuation is not important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You just gotta put what you want out there, and write. I write to write. I don't write to like. I write to inspire. I write to express. I write to convey. I don't write to like. Teach. You know, seventh grade English class. So.
Right. Now, you know what I really, really want to ask you about? This Farting Fire that you did, a chapbook. I mean, just that title is hilarious. Is that one of the, like, comedy type of thing, or?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's kind of funny, but it's got a lot of like, truth. Very, actually, what did I write about that? I was reading it the other day. I wrote down, this book contains everlasting, eternal knowledge, soul, love, fearlessness, even if you believe in no life. That's what I wrote about that book.
Oh, okay. When you first sent me your bio, and I started reading it. And when I came to that, I started cracking up hilariously. Yeah, I mean, I just because I was trying to imagine what was actually in that book to have that title.
I can read you a poem from it if you like.
Okay, yeah, we are going to, at 9:30, open the open mic, and I would love for you to read something from it.
All right.
We got a couple more questions, and one particular question is, are there any other, I know you seem like you're the type of person that just pretty much guided by, you know, your principles and your writing style, but do you have anybody that, patting yourself after as a poet or author?
Everybody.
Everybody. Okay, so
yeah,
you don't have any
poet.
Favorite author?
Oh yeah,
okay. Fun. Yeah, I mean,
currently, I don't know. I have so many amazing authors out there. Recently, I've been reading. I've been reading Rumi is incredible. Coleman Barks' translations of Rumi blow my, like, are beautiful and incredible. I'm inspired to write like him. Jim Morrison, I let my girlfriend borrow some of Jim Morrison's poetry, and she didn't really read any of it. And I've been staying with her a lot lately. Yeah, The Doors, Jim Morrison. Yeah. And I've been reading a lot of, I was, like, staying with her and, like, just reading his poetry, like, all night long. And, you know, he's an incredible, incredible poet, in my opinion. I was really huge into E. Cummings in this year. Like, I mean, I kind of liked that. I mean, I've liked most every poet. You just go through different phases. Like, I think, you know, all the poets that are, like, called great or, you know, have those, you know, like, people enjoy them that are published. You know, most of them I've read and thoroughly enjoyed because, you know, they're great. They're incredible. E. Cummings, et cetera. Ryan Adams, who's an incredible songwriter, he published 2 books of poetry this year that I really loved. And,
I hope we can get them on the show one of these days.
Yeah, that would be awesome if you do, please. I'd love to call in. He's great. I love Ryan Adams. You know, there's a lot of my friend Matt Cothran from the band Coma Cinema, who's really getting a lot of attention now. Who I wrote some lyrics with. He writes. I don't really write lyrics with him anymore because he doesn't need me. Because he writes incredible lyrics and incredible songs, and I get to. You know, hear his stuff, and he's a very inspiring person in my life. There's a lot of...
What type of songs do you write, Justin?
I don't really write as many songs. I mean, I write some songs. I don't really write as many songs as I used to because I'm not really in a band, but the only song that I really, like, I wrote... you can download comacinema.org. You can download his first 2 albums, and I think I wrote maybe a tenth, a fifth of the lyrics on the first record, and I think I co-wrote one of the songs on the second one. Songs that are on that record. Matt Cothran, Coma Cinema. He's coming out with a new record soon called Blue Suicide, and I didn't really write any lyrics on there. I got demoted to title. I came up with some titles, but that's about it. But yeah, Matt's incredible. He's going to be like inspire. I mean, he's already doing it, but it's just going to keep growing for him because he's such an incredible musician who writes like really beautiful like.
Are you originally from Greenville, South Carolina?
Yeah, I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
Originally?
Yeah.
What happened to the accent, man?
I kind of transcended it. you can come to a point in your life where you kind of,
No dirty South in your accent at all.
Yeah, I kind of, think that comes with, like, I guess evolving, maybe.
Oh, okay.
No offense to people that, not saying that people that have Southern accents aren't evolved, but I think it just comes with like a evolving past, like some sort of, I mean, I can talk like it. I can do one.
Go ahead.
All right.
And when you read your poem, read it like that. We want to hear it like that.
Yeah, sometimes I do. I do definitely do a lot of acts because I think poetry is kind of boring. So I like to do a lot of different accents and crazed human beings when I write my when I read my poems.
Well, now you know you got me dying to hear what you're reading now. Let's make some.
Well, what we're gonna do? We have a few more, or a couple of more questions before we go into the open mic segment. Just then, we do want to ask you very quickly, do you have like a support system, you know, as far as family, or is that something that you feel like you don't really need to be motivated or encouraged to write? Because a lot of people do need that, but, you know.
Honestly, me, I've kind of, I definitely have, like, as the years have gotten, I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot closer with my parents, but I kind of feel like I've kind of had an anti-support system.
Okay.
My parents were more into me, but I love them dearly, and we're really close now. I mean, closer now than ever before. I've never really had I have a support system, I guess. I mean, sort of support systems are, I have lots of people say nice things to me, just about my work and stuff, and that's great. And support systems, I don't know, I kind of have a, almost, no, I do have a lot of doubts. I do have, like, some doubts swirling around about, like, I guess, like, taking it to the next level of, like, I noticed I have some doubts about, like, getting this book published, because I have, like, a lot of, because I want it to be, like, an Oprah bestseller, I guess. And I kind of have some doubts.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, nothing at all. I've kind of have some doubts about, like, that I can do that. I mean, I know I can, and I'm going to, but I have a couple doubts in there. But when it comes to, like, my own poetry, I have a lot of, I honestly could write 100 poems and 100 people could tell me that they all sucked, and I wouldn't really believe them. I mean, it wouldn't really bother me. I don't really have that sort of confidence problem in, like, which is not always, maybe if I thought, took other people's, I don't really get, in the intellectual poetry world, I don't really get many poems published in, like, top-notch literary journals because, I feel like I'm kind of too, I don't really write like they do. I feel like they kind of write like...
You have your own unique style, but you know what? That's okay because you never know who's listening, who's watching, and they may see Justin Blackburn's poetry and like, look, I like this. You never know, Justin, so that's true.
Put
it out in the universe.
I feel like stuff that I write is like very eternal. I feel like it's stuff that can go on forever. It can speak. Like, I feel about poetry and the intellectual poetry sort of stuff is, like, it's very boring, and I feel like it's very, processed, and very, like, I know this is just my feelings right now that can change, but, I feel like that's why, I feel like very, like, separative. I feel like that's why, like, the normal person doesn't really go to poetry readings or read lots of, like, poetry isn't really well known everywhere. That's why I would like to be like the Beatles of poetry. I would like to have poetry in everybody's household. I mean, I write for everyone. Like, I'm not trying to exclude people by like trying to be aloof or talk about like Oedipus's son. Not that Oedipus's son isn't a cool guy or whatever, but I want to write that everyone can read it and be like and feel it and say, oh yeah, I get that, and like either be inspired. I'm not trying to like make someone, feel left out of my poetry. I want my poetry to be
I totally feel that, Justin, and I can certainly appreciate that too, because you want to be able to write where it touches everybody, every color on the rainbow. You want to be able to touch everybody,
exactly.
Not just one person or individual, one group or type of person. So I feel you on that. Okay, it's just 9:30. Justin, if people want to get more acquainted with your writing and with who you are, get connected with who you are, can you tell the people how they can reach you or get connected with you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm having a website that's about to come out soon, justinblackburnlovesyou.com. And then I have, I'm on Facebook. You can email me at justinblackburn111@yahoo.com. I have a group. Justin Blackburn Writes Things Down on Facebook. There's a lot of people join it, and I have some books you can buy, Farting Fire at Virgo Gray Press. You can just type in Farting Fire at Virgo Gray Press. Female Human Whispers, A Strong Masculine Gentleness is at shadowarcherpress.com. And there's going to be a lot more to come out, so you can keep on.
Okay. Did everyone get that?
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay. Justin, it was certainly a great pleasure having you come on to the show, finally.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
It was a pleasure getting to know you, and we certainly embrace you, and I certainly am going to get more and more acquainted with your work, because when I read your bio, I was like, oh, I got to indulge in the type of writing that he has, because I love all types of writing. Because you get inspiration from a lot of different people, and plus I'm an avid reader. I like to read all kinds of stuff. So it was certainly a pleasure having you on the show, and we hope you do return again. We're going to go into the open mic segment, so I'm hoping that you'll hang out with us and read a couple of your pieces.
Yeah. I'll definitely read a couple pieces.
We're going to take a brief moment to recognize all the guests we have. First, we'd like to thank Gemini 619 for stopping by. Welcome, guest 4855, guest 5318, Plainfield 80, and, of course, my host, Stevie G. Thank you all for joining us this evening. It's such a pleasure to have you. And if you feel free, if you feel like you want to call in and recite one of your pieces, the number to call in is 917-932-8881. Okay, we're going to jump off the open mic segment, and Justin Blackburn is going to get it all popping for us.
All right, this is a poem from Farting Fire. It's my favorite poem from Farting Fire, probably one of my favorite poems I've ever written. It's called Cliche Poem to a Poet Poem. Write from your soul. Eventually your soul will start writing from you. If you don't have a soul, don't worry. Find the masculine, muscular man closest to you. Kiss him square on the lips. After he beats your ass, call your mother and tell her to write everything you say down. Congratulations, you got your first poem. For God's sakes, don't stop there. Whatever you do, don't listen to your teachers. That is why they're teachers. They do not know shit, so they don't know you. The real poets are poets. You won't meet them until you become one. Until then, hang out in the forest, the alleyways, the wrinkled faces. Go fishing for birds. Feed your stomach clouds. Rip dollar bills off trees. Play football for the coach. Study trash cans and live in a yellow submarine. Hang around pretentious professors pretending you are incredibly deep while making fun of yourself out loud in front of their family's God. You are confused. Life is war to you. That is perfect. You wouldn't have it any other way. No one understands you. Great. You don't understand yourself. Don't worry about it. All you need to know is you don't need to know. Keep loving. Keep fucking. Keep sucking. Keep living. Keep giving. Keep laughing. Most of all, keep writing. Realize the best poems are written by the air in the tragic part of the night, by the waves of the ocean, through the minds of children, by the Beatles, and on the drive-thru menu at McDonald's. Now that you know this, see everyone as a poem. Kindly write them. if you find everyone criticizes you and thinks you're fucking crazy, take it as a compliment, for that means you're on the path to greatness. If you are not receiving the love you desire, if you are finding yourself mediocre and bitter, eating your way into winter, do not kill yourself. Smoke some weed by the fire, take your pen to a video store, change the movie titles around, make a beautiful, hilarious poem of it. If that doesn't work, find a person in a wheelchair. See the overwhelming beauty in their preciousness. Follow them until you have written 50 poems. Once you got your poems, congratulate yourself. Now invite all your friends to a coffee shop to listen to you read them. When no one shows up, give your poems different personalities and read them to the wall. Now walk out of the room like Lou Reed. You were doing perfect. Now it's time to give your poems to everyone you can. I'm talking parents, gas station employees, the thunder, the lightning. I'm talking hot chicks, famous fuckers, guilty prisoners, rising rivers. Most importantly, find the highest esteemed bullshit-licking literary journals. Send your poems there, along with a letter to the editor explaining how every poem you write is because you want to fuck his son. When you get the rejection letter, glue it to a refrigerator, buy yourself some flowers. You have passed with flying colors. Now it's time for you to find a lover. Someone 50 times more fucked up than you are. Someone who knows from the start the joke is on you. Someone who can shit out your heart without ever tasting it. After she fucks all your friends, lay in the darkness for 2 straight weeks. When you come out, you will be broke, empty, talking shit to inanimate objects, and exactly where you need to be to face the next demon head on. For this part of the journey, you will need the fungus that grows off cow shit. Don't be scared. It's like pussy. Don't think about the taste. Just let it become you. Now the feeling you are getting, like there is more to life than you could ever imagine, yet less than you could ever comprehend. Write that feeling down, for that feeling is the place to be. Become the grass. Write about how grateful you feel to be walked on. Become the wind. Write about how grateful you feel to kiss a tree. Become the demon within. Write about how grateful you are to die. Become the human being. Write about how grateful you are to ask why. Now kiss the ground, fondle the sky, you are ready to love everything. Now you understand the real reason you chose to be a poet. It is a quick, nonstop route to your spirit. Now let everything be beautiful. Now speak it, write it, live it, hear it. You are a part of everything. Nothing else matters. For I love you, young poet. Take my advice or don't. I don't care. It's your life. Live it however you like. I love your life regardless. Every road leads to where no roads can go. Namaste.
You're a rebel.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Let me... Whoa!
You're a rebel. You're a rebel, Justin.
Wow, Justin, that was off the chain. I'm the tip of my tongue. Oh, my God. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That was definitely raw and real. Can't get no realer than that.
Justin, you're a rebel, Justin.
Thanks, man.
I'm glad you got people in the chat room saying, all right, Justin, rebel with a cause. Snap, snap, snap. Oh, that was a very enjoyable, definitely enjoyable. Justin, I have to talk to you later about getting that fart fire. Is that the book, that poem in that book?
Yeah, that's a poem from the book.
Okay.
I can just put a link on your page if you want me to.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure.
If anyone wants to dial in to spit a poem or whatever you like to do, sing a song, the number is 917-932-8881. Please dial in.
Okay, we do have, again, we'd like to thank Justin for being our featured guest today and also rendering us that lovely piece. We do have a lot of hands up on the switchboard here. We have a lot of callers, so we're going to acknowledge them at this moment. Justin, we're going to mute you, but if you want to hang out, feel free.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything. You guys have been really kind and wonderful. And if you want me on again next time, just let me know. I'll be on there. I hope everybody has a great
night.
I sure
will. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Justin.
You guys
thanks
love everybody.
For stopping in.
Yeah, thank you. Bye, guys.
Have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Peace.
Okay. We have caller 972. You're on the air with Poetic Energy. It's CBG.
Hello.
Yes, who do we have here?
Hi, this is actually Plainfield 80. I am Stevie G's sister from Texas.
Oh, welcome to the show. You write poetry as well?
I do a little.
you want to share something with us this evening?
Well, I hadn't planned on it, but especially after Justin, my goodness.
Okay.
I really wanted to give a shout-out to my brother because I've been listening to the show tonight, and I've already told him this, but I wanted to say it publicly, that I'm very proud of him. I am very proud of his book. I show it off at work, and I just wanted to say I love him and to keep going.
All right. I have the same sentiment of him. That was wonderful. Shout out to Stevie, his sister, all the way from Texas. Glad to have you here. Okay, we're going to mute you in since have another caller come in. Caller 513, you're on the air with Poetic Energy and CBG. What do you have for us this evening? I'm sorry?
I said to the caller Romeo DiNatti.
Okay. Are you going to recite something for us this evening? Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, okay. It's called Those Lips. I ask that you lend me your ears so I can touch your mouth, fill your heart, and answer to your soul with my. I want to kiss your lips until your ashes run to the back of your head. Kiss your lips until you need to grab and squeeze the covers on the bed. I want to kiss your lips till your body gets weak. Then I want to firm lips until you start to drip on the sheets. Just so gently bite your lips so good that you rub on my face. I want to get a little just a few. I want to kiss your lips all over the place. To be honest, I want to kiss you. You feel like you're going to nut into my mouth. If I'm looking for nourishment, I'm going to head my way down south. And softly kiss your lips. Then slowly slap my tongue over and on your lips. To the feeling makes you grab and caress your breath. Then directly after I part your sweet drip and lips to my tongue, you think, oh, shit, this is the best. Out in your bottom lip. I think I'm done with you, baby. I'm going to take my time. Kiss lips just as long as it takes to turn the fine wine. I close my eyes. Pulled you to my face and went to work. All you heard was the slew of flirts of my kissing you, of my licking you, of me tasting you. Me enjoying every drip down my chin and of all the moans and groans I received from the whole lips. That's my thoughts.
All right. Let's clap it up for the brother. Thank you so much for that tease. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
All right, brother. Thank you for that piece. Feel free to come back anytime and recite for us. We're going to take the next caller on the air. Caller 631, you're on the air with Poetic Energy and Stevie G. What do you have for us this evening?
Hi, this is Cindy from Long Island. How are you, Poetic Energy and Stevie G?
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good to have you come.
Yeah, I like to recite one of my poems called Dreams.
Okay. Hit us with it.
Last night I dreamed of you, the way you worked my body, the way I reached the top. I didn't want you to stop. Can you remember me? Can you remember when we, oh my, I tried and tried not to cry, but this is just a dream. I really want to scream, passion, ecstasy. What more can I say? This was just a dream. The end.
That was short and sweet. That's your piece?
Yes, that was it.
All right,
okay,
girl.
Let me give you a clap, sister. Hold on.
Long Island in the half.
All right. Thank you for sharing that piece with us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, honey.
Feel free to come back anytime.
I certainly will.
All right.
Okay,
Z, get your butt
right,
back on here, please, girl.
Pardon?
I'm trying to get my sister back on here.
Okay, let me, I got a piece that I am going to read this evening. It's called Vivid Love. I went to sleep last night, eyes filled tight. The music started playing in my head as I lay dormant on my hand-carved bed. The song was melodious and calming to my stressful yearns. Suddenly, the projector reels began to turn, and the movie of my lover's take unraveled before my face. It was me lying there beneath him on a pallet of flowers. The aroma smelled of jasmine, tuberoses, and gardenias. The flowers used ceremonially for a more religious type of uplifting in marriage. He stroked my hair sensually to the tune of the song he brought out in me. He constantly recited how much he adored me. He suddenly began to hold me tight and made me feel precious in his sight. He rubbed my body down with fine oils, yet intensified the aroma in the air, and it created a fragrance that only the two of us could share. He placed his hand behind my head and kissed my lips like the taste was rare, assuring me that this love was for me, and to share it with another, he wouldn't dare. He perused my body firmly, kissing and warming everything with a tip, and from my melons he did sip. Every time he touched me, he paused between moments, as if he was reading a sign that said, handle with care. The sensuality in his eyes let me know that he was definitely mine, and this love would last to the end of all time. He lifted himself and saddled me in position, his male anatomy, to enter into my woman's space to take me to that sacred place. The friction was high, the turbulence was wild, and I could do nothing but pant and smile. My lover with a high baritone groan flipped me on top while still in the zone. It was now my turn to take the plane and land it into a total bliss and seal every part of his body with a strawberry kiss. Trust, there was no part of him I would dare miss. One thing I know is this, that I rode my stallion like a horse racing in the Kentucky Derby. This experience had my eyesight going in and out of flurries. The underlying message in this reel of mine is to show you that marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. So having a vivid love will not make God frown. In fact, it helps make marriages sound. If you do not know what to take from my, if you do not want to take this tip, then read the book of Song of Solomon, and it will clarify the vivid love tip. Oh, and in case that this part was missed, my lover and my husband are one and the same. I'm just waiting on God to give me his name because the anticipation is driving me insane. And that's my piece.
Woo. Got a tape there. Look what happened when you catch the flu.
Oh. Got to cover that for myself, huh?
All right, Stevie G, what'd you say?
Hey, Playful 80 still on mute, but I think she wants to recite a poem because she said I'll read it.
Your sister?
Yeah, she said I'll read it.
Okay. Okay, we're going to chime in another caller, 972, you're on the air. You're going to speak for us? Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's called My Essence Awakes. The touch of the voice awakens the stagnant eruption. Thoughts of buried visions find their way to their surface. Ignited in me, the being I am that renders a woman hidden within the walls of mumbled, of numbed essence, a desire for freedom of caged passions that should be liberated to the exposed without trepidation. In custody and protected from the voice that knows not how to awaken the eruption. And that's my piece.
All right. So, thank you. Thank you. Let's clap for
her. All right. I guess I hit y'all love with a little pop.
Thank you, dear sister, for sharing that with us.
That's, thank you, baby. Love you.
Love you too.
All right, Poetic E, I'm going to do one.
All
unless
right.
Unless we got a call on the room waiting. Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
go ahead with your piece.
Oh, okay. This piece is called The Filler. I open my door every day when I come home from work, drop my pants to the floor, and throw off my shirt. Take out my cell phone to keep with me. Can't afford to miss a call, being the lonely me. Pass my computer and tap the on switch. Walking through the house without a stitch. Go to the bathroom and drain the main vein. Wash my hands as the suds run down the drain. Put on some music to relax my overworked mind. Pour me a glass of cognac or a glass of wine. Sit at my computer and check my email. Nothing to read, just a bunch of tall tales. I can't go on like this. I need a filler, maybe a little drama or a tidbit of thriller. I need to hear a sweet voice say to me, I love you, baby, and dinner is ready. Someone to talk to kiss when I arrive. Someone to make me know that I'm alive inside. A soft body to caress and touch. A woman to hold when I need to clutch. To watch a movie we'll snuggle together. To hold on to for life, to love forever. A woman to fill the void in my space. A beautiful lady filled with elegance and grace. To fill my life with joy. I want to be happy again. I don't want to end up lonely and by myself in the end. So I ask God to send her my way or send a sign. I need a good, strong woman to keep a bad boy in line. I want the thunder to roar when she enters my domain. I want the filler to have a heart, a soul, and a brain. So fill my life, buttercup, with happiness and pleasure. The filler of my heart will be impossible to measure. And that's my piece.
Oh, snap, Stevie G. Wait a minute. Let me clap for my partner.
Thank you. Thank you, all these clapping people.
BBG, that was off the chain. I like that. All right.
318 that ain't speaking in the chat room.
Yeah, we do have some activity in the chat room. Everybody loving your piece. Plainfield 80 said, do your thing, brother. Wow, we'd like to take this moment again to thank all the guests. Gemini 619, thank you for being here. Guest 4855, guest 5318, Plainfield 80, and my co-host, TBG. We just thank you for hanging out with us. I guess we don't have any more callers at the moment, but we still have 5 and a half minutes left of the show. And I guess I will render another piece here. This piece is called
Ad-Lib. I'm going to ad-lib your piece, so it better be good because I'm going to be ad-libbing.
This piece is from my newest poetry collection that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. The book title was God's Inner Peace, but this piece here, but He Gives Me Peace. Sometimes I wear insanity as a daily head wrap, bound so tightly my head is like a throbbing heartbeat, ready to explode. The anxiety is so enormous that the membranes of my brain begin to expand like a balloon filled to capacity, repeatedly pulsating to a point of compulsion. I feel as if I have no control of my actions. The manic tendencies in me want to unleash and engage in a rage of war and seek vengeance against the world that sometimes consumes me with her expectations of being a citizen of the universe that is without flaw. But yet she advocates her own demons to glory in the light of righteousness. Oh, hypocrite, the robber of peace from the soul, I condemn you not. Instead, I pray for you, hoping you will understand that I am born as an immigrant, a foreigner to life and its circumstances, traveling until I am taught right from wrong. I live as a refugee, seeking peace from pain, turmoil, betrayal, and jealousies of the sinful nature of the universe creatures. The only way to cope and find peace is to turn to God, seeking peace through the meditation of His divine presence. Evident in the elements of nature, I retreat to a secret throne and close my eyes in preparation of God's inner peace. Being released into my spirit, issued from the authorities of the heavens, it is a peace that is beyond the natural realm of human nature. I am enlightened by the glory of the Lord. It is He. He gives me peace. He gives me peace to tame the manic tendencies that sometimes try to evade my soul with rage. It is He. He gives me peace. And that's that peace.
Ooh, that was tight. I like that. Clap for yourself.
All right. We still have 3 minutes left in the show. 3 minutes left.
Let me do one more short one before we get off of here. I got a short
one. All right.
It's called Lust versus Love versus In Love. Love can creep up in multiple forms. It never comes in exact tandem and always out of the norm. Its attributes are mentally confused. Lust versus love versus in love. Heartbreak lies in what you choose. Carefully observe the outer being. Beauty is only skin deep, your heart and soul pleading. The exterior is so appealing, to walk the talk, you contemplate the feeling. While the interior has been underestimated, the exterior is being overly investigated. Though precious to the eye, those moving, motivating thighs, the beautiful smile, is this where the lust hides or where love lies? Confusing, isn't it? Love versus in love. Love lives in the heart and lust in the brain. Although alike, love and lust are never the same. And that's my piece.
All right, CBG. Wait a minute. Let's clap it up for my brother. All right, CBG. I really, really enjoyed that piece. Isn't me, but it seemed like a lot of love was in the air. Seemed like we had a lot of people.
Something else, too.
But once again, we have had a wonderful show. We're nearing the end of the show. We'd like to take this time again to thank Justin Blackburn for being our featured guest this evening, and also all the guests that decided to join in us in the chat room. Well, let's come on to the air. We have a faithful crew that comes back every week, and we just thank you and love you for your support, and we hope that you continue to support the show. We love having your presence here. And we just really, really embrace everyone. We encourage everybody that if you decide that you want to share a piece with us, we embrace you and we'll love on you. It's just the same. And we have 42 seconds, and I'm signing off. This is your girl, Poetic E, and your co-host,
Stevie G.
All right, all right. Have a good evening, folks. We love you. Peace.
Peace. Love and happiness.
Allow reality to set in. You may not.
Yo, really? What world, huh? Well, guess what?
DJ Arnie.
FDA got something, y'all.
What's up?